Okay, this morning my lesson is entitled The Assurance of Our Resurrection, or Death, the Great Contradiction. And this is a lesson that comes up, the idea of what happens when we die, what goes on there. And it's one that comes to my mind periodically because I periodically lose people that I love. You know, mostly it's those who have lived good long lives and have been influential and have had good lives. And as sad as I am, we all will experience that time. But sometimes that isn't the case, and that's bad too. But the idea of death, you know, death really is a real mystery to us. Not the fact that it happens, because we have all experienced it to a degree. And what are we to make of death? Are we to conclude like Job did in the 14th chapter of Job, that death is a great contradiction? That is unfair. Unfair. You have this life, and then it's suddenly taken away. It seems kind of unfair sometimes. Job said that if you cut down a tree and the rain comes, that tree may sprout up again, may grow. But if you cut down a man, he lies down and never rises again. What are we to make of this contradiction? What can we know for certainty about life after death, about what happens when our time here is over? On what is our faith in heaven based is all we really have to think about, because we are off, made so many promises. Is it on the guesses of men that we have to try to figure out what death is about? Does it have some basis in reality, is in historical fact? Well, historically, people always die. I think there's one example or two where they were taken up, but, you know, that's not what I'm talking about here, because that's not going to happen to you. If we look as deeply as we can into this mystery, we still won't have all the answers. But we can catch glimpses of what it would be like. We can learn that for those who are in Christ, glory awaits. So we do have, through our faith, some idea that there is some hope beyond it. In Corinthians, the 15th chapter that I read this morning, find one of the most informative and uplifting passages, scripture, on the subject of death and the resurrection. I think that in times when death threatens us or one of our loved ones, we can think of this chapter. It will help to comfort us. And I really do like that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians quite a bit. We all have a natural fear of death and dying. It is something that I know brings a lot of sadness and anxiety. Sometimes I think that I'm wrong to have this fear. Being a Christian, I think, well, we know that God's going to take care of us, so we shouldn't have fear of death. We should look forward for that time, live a good long life, and look forward to it. But no, we all fear it, and I think that's justifiable, because just because we know we're going to a better place doesn't mean we want to start our travels today. It's scary. We shouldn't feel this way, because the fear of death is part of our humanity. That's what I think God has put into our system. Because if we didn't fear it, we all probably wouldn't be as old as we are right now. And if we ever thought that it was a sign of weakness to fear dying and death, then let's go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. Or if anyone ever doubted that Jesus was truly in human form on this earth, there'll be no doubt if you read about what happened there in Matthew 26, 36 through 45, which I won't read, but I will kind of go over the idea of he went to Gethsemane knowing what was going to happen to him. He knew he was about to be arrested and put to death. He uses words in that chapter, in that group of verses, such a sorrowful, troubled. My soul is overwhelmed by sorrow to the point of death. And ultimately, though, came to the conclusion that, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. We have scripture that says he wasn't looking forward to the process he knew had to happen. But he says, yet not as I will, but as your will be done, as you want, Lord. That really does show us that death, even to the man who knew where he would go, what would happen, there was still fear there. So, you know, with that example of Christ, you know, look at Jesus. 33 years of age, facing the cross. Who wants to die at 33? Who wants to die a young man with a lot of life, with much to do? A lot of good work could have been done if he would have lived to 70. But we know that more good work was done because he allowed God's will to be done. We can see Jesus struggling with the idea of dying. What could he do? What all of us do when we come upon that fear? That's pray to the Father. Pray to his Father. Not once, but three times in the example in Matthew. He went up, came down, found his sleeping disciples, who he hoped he would gain strength from. But the only person we could really, ultimately will gain strength from is the Father. He didn't want to die or go to the cross when he was there in Gethsemane. Knowing what he knew, he didn't want it. So that certainly is a sign of his humanity. What would you or I do? Much the same. We have a fear of dying because of pain, suffering, and separation from our families, from the life we know, the good things we have. Those are scary things. Paul calls death the last enemy in 1 Corinthians 15 and 26. We are always uncomfortable about things with which we are unfamiliar, with the unknown. The unknown is scary. If we would have gone through it once, say we had died and gone through the process and came back, we would know what was going on, and I'm certain that we would be less fearful. But because we haven't, we do have that fear. Some have anxiety because they aren't ready to meet God. The sense of being unprepared for death brings anxiety, which shouldn't be discounted. It is natural and can lead one to Christ. That idea of, I need to be ready for that time when I meet my Maker, so to speak. The important thing, then, is that we are right with God, that we make our peace with Him by repentance, by faith, by baptism, and having a faithful Christian life. Those are things that can comfort us, that can maybe allay some of that fear that we have of death. If we have this, we have ultimately nothing to fear from death. We have a victory over death by the resurrection of Christ. And that is where our hope lies. Having affirmed the naturalness of our anxiety and the fear of death, let's look at another statement made by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. He says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We have no hope that we will survive death apart from Christ and his resurrection. Again, Christ has indeed been raised, the first fruits of them that have fallen asleep. This means that Jesus was the first to be raised from the dead, but he won't be the last. He was the first fruits. Because of his death and his victory, we can believe that this happened because our faith in him. We too will be raised to life with all those who have lived and died in Christ. Again, Christ is the key. He is the thing that can take care of those fears, can allow us to maybe not look forward to it, but certainly not have the numbing fear of death, that death can offer. So what kind of body will we have? And when we are resurrected, we have no clear description of what we will look like, what we will be like. And I get the impression that Paul thinks that it's kind of foolish to even go there, but, you know, we are human. Curiosity gets the best of us, I guess. And he certainly, again, thinks it's foolish when he says in Corinthians 15:35, how foolish. But he does go on to tell how we will be different from a physical body. He says in verses 45 and through 47 of 1 Corinthians, he said, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. We do have one example of the resurrected life, resurrected body, and that is the resurrected body of Christ. What was he like? We have descriptions of it. It said after Christ rose, he had a real body. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't a sheet floating in the wind. He had a real body. Again, not as a ghost or a phantom, but one that was seen by as many as 500 people. He was seen as a man, alive by as many as 500 people. One that was touched, that ate food, one that showed the wounds of the cross. So he was alive. He did have a body. But it was also a transcendent body. I really should use words I can enunciate. One that wasn't limited as a mortal body is. His body was transformed by the power of God. He was able to enter a room where the doors were locked. He was able to be gone in the blink of an eye. Someone would be there and then he was gone. His resurrected body was suited for that other realm. And thus, we can get a glimpse of what our resurrected bodies will be like. Paul gives us three key words to understanding what our resurrected bodies will be like. First, he says that they are going to be imperishable in verse 42. It won't perish. As our body does, we age, we get weaker. Our new one won't. Told that we will return, our old body will return to the dust from which they came. Our new body will be imperishable and immortal. They will live forever. Paul obviously isn't talking about a resurrection of someone who has died clinically. He was not talking about the raising of Lazarus, who was brought back from the grave, but one day went back to that grave. There is a tremendous difference. We need to believe that our bodies, like Jesus, will be transformed. The second description by Paul is that our resurrected bodies will be glorious. I look in the mirror and I don't really see glorious right now. Maybe when I was 18, but not so much now. So that's a good thing. I don't think that many of us are completely happy with our bodies. Our bodies now are not glorious. They are subject to pain, aging, decay. Our imperfect bodies will one day be replaced, transformed by perfect bodies. Paul's final word is that our bodies will be spiritual ones in verse 44 of that chapter. Not mortal dying bodies, but spiritual ones suited for the heavenly realm, for where we will live. Think of the hope this holds for those who are in Christ. One day we too are going to have imperishable, glorious, and spiritual bodies. If we have a limp, that limp will be gone. My sore hip will not be sore anymore. We will be able to be glorious. But even with all these words telling us how it is going to be for us after we die, it is still difficult to be looking forward to that death, to be seeking it out. When we look at death, we see what looks like the destruction of what we hold dear. I like being alive. I love being with my family, my church family, my friends, all those things. I like that. Even sometimes the bad parts of it. It seems grossly unfair that a child, a youth, a man, a woman, a father, a mother should be cut down, should die. On the face, death wears the appearance of destruction and defeat. But when you look at the same experience from the perspective of the Father, death is not destructive. It is departure to be with the Lord. That's vastly different from what we may see. From the Lord's point of view, death is victory. Especially if we manage to live a life that glorifies Him. Live a life as He wants us to live it. That we've done good things. There's a great verse in Psalm 116:15 that reads, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints." You know, really, can you imagine that? That the Father sees our death as being precious. Death of His children is precious to the Lord because it means they are coming home to Him. In the last days of his life, Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, the son and his son in the ministry, as he's described him. As he came to the close of the letter, Timothy, he gave an affirmation of his personal faith. In 2 Timothy 4:6, he says, "The time of my departure is at hand." He uses the word departure, that he's going somewhere, not dying, not going to the grave, but that he's going somewhere, taking a little journey. He was about to be taken out and decapitated, have his head removed from his shoulders. His life was about to end. That looks like destruction to me. But Paul saw it from God's point of view and called it departure. You know, isn't that kind of cool? Isn't that a great attitude? The word Paul used in the Greek is a positive word. It's analusis. The fact that I could actually pronounce it surprises me. Meaning a loosing up or off. It is a word that a soldier would use when taking down his tent and heading home. Or a soldier loosing his ship from the moors and heading home. This is what Paul thought of death. Loosening of the physical bonds of this body here on earth and going home to God in heaven. If you enjoy this world, then you haven't seen anything yet. The sweetest journey of all will be that journey home. A while back I read a line from a poem that said, "Death, be not proud, thou too shall die." Must have been King James. Sometime in the future, we will all die. That's our path. Good lives, bad lives, intermediate lives, we will die. And also in the future, when Christ has returned to gather his own, death will also cease. We shouldn't necessarily look forward to death. I think God wants us to live our lives to the fullest, to be a good impact on everyone, and be a good person. Enjoy the gift of life that we have. As much as He's looking for us to come home, He wants us to enjoy this gift He's given us here. There's so many good things. Live it to the fullest. To do the work that He has for us to do. But we shouldn't have an unnatural fear of death. If we have been faithful to His Word and done the things He wants us to do, then He will personally take care of us. We will depart from this world to our home in heaven. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, it reads, "Where, O death, this is your victory. Where, O death, is your sting?" And this refers to one in the Old Testament, in Hosea 13, verse 14. It says, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, is your plague? Where, O grave, is your destruction?" You know, there's a whole lot of things that speak about that death is, on the whole, powerless. It can take our lives. That's what we will do. But ultimately, it has no power because of the power of God. That's the lesson I want to leave you this morning. Seek God. Seek Christ. Be part of His body, because that is where our hope is. And that's where it lies, in the body of Christ, in the lessons of God, and the hope that He has for us. If you need to be part of that body, if you need to have that hope in your life, or if you need to come forward for any other reason, I ask you to do so as Josh leads us in the invitation song.